You're listening to a podcast from podmaster.co.uk, brought to you by Team Saga Insurance.
The Velox 5 Oceans Race was established as the first single-handed around-the-world race in 1982 and is run every 4 years. This year it begins on October the 22nd and covers three grueling legs from Bilbao in Spain to Fremantle in Australia to Norfolk in the USA and then back to Bilbao. Along the way, sailors may face huge storms, waves of up to 25 metres, sleep deprivation and extreme isolation. Fewer people have achieved this goal than have climbed Mount Everest. This year, Saga Insurance is sponsoring Sir Robin Knox-Johnson. At 67, Sir Robin is the oldest and the most experienced competitor in the race. And completing this, the ultimate solo challenge, proves that age is no barrier to achieving your goals. He is the eldest of four brothers, whose main interests as a child was running, swimming and boxing. Interestingly, he was not very good at team sports. Life began not on the ocean, but on the 17th of March 1937 in Putney, London.
Yes, I was. Yes, born on the banks of the Thames, though, so I was close to water when I was born. In fact, from the age of eight, I decided I wanted to go to sea, so, if you like, my entire subsequent career was decided by an eight-year-old. I find myself living that ever since. But that was it. From eight onwards, I was going to be a seaman, and it was just a question of what sort of seaman I was going to be, Royal Navy or Merchant Navy. Yachting came a bit later, because in the Merchant Navy in those days, we had to learn to sail the lifeboats. And I just grew to like it, so I took up yachting as a sort of hobby to start with, and have just kept it going ever since.
Find it interesting that you're actually quite athletic as a youngster as well. That's something which some would say the modern generation has lost.
I think it's appalling the way these youngsters aren't given enough exercise. I was on the sports council for a while, and I mean, it was one of the things that really worried us, looking at these rather podgy youngsters. When I was president of the Sail Training Association, we'd get these young men, and they couldn't even do a pull-up. I couldn't believe it. It's not healthy. They're not building their bodies up properly. They're going to be an awful strain on the national health because they haven't got a strong body. I went to sea as an apprentice. I grew 4 inches and put on 2 stone in a year. I could do 70 pull-ups in those days. We built up strong bodies, and that body's kept going, for me anyway, this far, and I hope it'll keep going a bit longer. But you need to exercise when you're young. You need the exercise when you're at school. One of the greatest challenges facing this country now is to give youngsters exercise at school.
I know you've actually stayed involved with trying to encourage youngsters into the sport of sailing. Do they come to it willingly, and what do they get from it, do you think?
I think one of the greatest difficulties of getting youngsters involved in sailing is actually it's not one of the easiest sports to find out how to start. But that's changing. I think you're finding more and more yacht clubs are now got cadet sections, and they will encourage you. You get people perhaps of my age, but being prepared to give up their spare time to go and train them and encourage them to come along. So it is growing. There's an awful lot of people who do go sailing, as you know. There's, 2.8 million boat owners in Britain, which is a vast number. But it'd be nice to feel that we could get more into it. I think schools should include sailing in their sporting curriculum, because it's a good, healthy sport and teaches you a skill as well and to understand the elements.
Read also that you're interested in the marine environment. In what particular way?
Well, like most sailors, I think most people who go to sea, the one thing you hate is seeing plastic bottles floating on the ocean. If we don't look after the sea, it's not going to look after us long term. And, of course, it is the sort of thermostat that controls our climate on the Earth. So we cannot go out there and pollute it. It isn't just a question we don't like the look of it. It can be damaging. Plastic, for instance, might be eaten by turtles and it'll kill them because it gets in their insides. We've no right to take their lives. We wouldn't need to preserve it. We've got to think ahead too and realise that the sea may be one of the most important sources of food as our population of Earth continues to grow, so we need to look after it.
What keeps your interest in sailing? Is it technology? Is it the skill of sailing? Is it learning more about sailing? What is it?
I think my interest in sailing is just about every aspect of it. I love racing. I love trying to get the maximum speed out of a boat. But I'm blissfully happy setting off with a crew of friends in a boat and just cruising around, going from port to port, checking the beer and seeing that things are all right. I don't really mind. I like to go to explore. I like to go to the Arctic and explore up there, which is really exciting. I happen to use boats for it. I suppose I could have used motorbikes or something else, but for me it's boats.
You're actually going into this race. Is it a race or is it another adventure?
No, this is a race. I'm not entering this just to be an also-ran or just to be a participant. I'm entering to race. And I think I'd be letting everyone down who's helped me and backed me and supported me if I said I wasn't going to go and race, but I intend to go and race.
Given adventures that you've been on, what are defining moments of them? When do you sort of sit there and go, this is why I do it?
oh, if you climb a mountain, it's when you're standing at the top and looking out all round you and saying, wow, that was lovely, I'm glad I did that. Or when you've done a voyage, when you come into port and saying, whoa, done it, well, tuck the one behind, what am I going to do next? Try flying, for instance, when every time you land safely, it's a great relief in my case, but you know, every time you land safely, you say, God, that was great, must do that again. Try parachuting. You land okay, don't break anything, you feel like you could take on the world. It's a magnificent feeling. All these things just add spice to life. You know, we've only got one life as far as we know. We might as well paint it in bright colours.
Do you think there's another generation of you?
I think there's a lot of people of my age who are brought up in a certain way who tend to go out and do things like this. I'd like to think that perhaps they haven't shown themselves yet, but there will be others coming. I mean, there's people like Alex Thompson, for instance, who I think could well do that. But I think, as long as we can set examples, you know, people like Ellen MacArthur sets an example to young girls that, look, you can go out and achieve incredible feats if you want to. You've got to want to do it, and you've got to be determined enough to keep pressing on, even when things turn against you and it seems impossible. Never give up. You can achieve, but you've got to want to.
One of the things that is now greatly more important than it used to be in terms of sailing is obviously sponsorship. What's that brought to it?
Well, sponsorship has inevitably brought, actually at the end of the day, faster boats, more powerful boats, because they cost a lot more money and people can't afford them without the sponsorship. So I think sponsorship is bringing a great deal to the boating industry in particular, and I think it's up to the boating industry to make sure those sponsors are getting a fair return. After all, we're competing with a lot of other sports for this sponsorship money. We've got to show that we're the best investment.
Who's sponsoring you and why have they picked on you?
I've been sponsored by Saga Insurance for this race. I think in a way it was almost a squeeze play. I don't think they really could avoid insuring me in view of their business and backing me. But this is working out very nicely. I mean, there is a link with their customer base, between me and their customer base, and we're working together to try and sort of help people to understand you can have an active life after you're 50. That's what Saga are up about, and that's what I'm up about.
Actually, it's interesting that you say they've insured you. Have they really? Because, I mean, you must be one hell of a risk.
Yeah, I've got quite a good safety record in boats. What do you mean I'm a heck of a risk? I think I'm the only person in this race who's got fully comprehensive insurance, so the insurers, and they're pretty hard-headed, seem to think I'm worth insuring.
The first person to sail non-stop round the planet, that was you. The journey back in 1969 took 312 days. Current record is 87 days and 10 hours. Could you ever, ever have envisaged that time coming down so much in such a short period of time?
No, we couldn't. You know, 40 years ago, we didn't even know it was possible to sail around the world. Nowadays, we find we're getting round in faster and faster times, and it's because of technology, it's because of sponsorship. This is enabling us to keep putting these records down. But that's good, because that's what records are for. They're there to be held up and shied against and beaten. So it's good to see it happening. What I think is particularly pleasing me is, you know, the 60s and early 70s were very much a time when the Brits dominated single-handed sailing. It then disappeared across the channel to the French, and we're just getting back into it again. You're seeing some good youngsters coming along. So I think there's quite an exciting future in single-handed sailing from the British perspective, and I hope to see us becoming more and more competitive in the international field.
You are bringing years of experience that no, well, very few others would probably have. Do you think that's going to improve your chances of winning? And if so, in what particular areas?
I think the experience I've got of being at sea as a professional and doing a lot of yachting is an advantage in some respects, but I think it's somewhat countered by the fact that these youngsters have done a lot of miles in their boats. They're not just starting out, if you know what I mean. They're pretty experienced guys themselves. So I think maybe I've got some experience, but then they've got a lot too. So I'm not sure I've got any huge advantage on that, but we'll see. We'll find out what happens on the water once we get racing.
Sir Robin Knox-Johnson, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from podmaster.co.uk.